the newsletter.
And just to kind of let me know what, you know, he had said in the newsletter. And I scrolled down. I saw that Nerf war that happened. Was that Wednesday? I really wanted to come down. I told him, I wrote back. I was like, I want to come down for that, but I can't. Anyway, yeah, just an amazing time with the guys yesterday. I just wanted to say that. I said it to them, and I just want to say it to you as a congregation. Like, and I know a lot of the guys weren't able to make it. Some of the guys that I knew from, it was just a busy weekend for a lot of people. But you guys have a remarkable church. You really, really do. Good friend of Josh and I's, Dave Horseman. So Dave, if you're watching, what up, brother? But he texted me, and he had like the Seven Seas gospel chart. They were had it at their church in Minnesota. I used to live in Minnesota, and that's where he's at. He's like, just shot it to me, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. I was like, I'm going to be with Josh in Tonkawa this weekend. And he texted back and he said, I watch Josh's sermons most weeks. That's what he said. So Dave in Minnesota is watching you guys week to week. And Horseman, if he could, he would be here. He would have a blast with you guys. Yeah, I know you guys just finished the second missionary journey of Paul, right? Is that correct? I think last week. And,
yes.
And yeah, okay, yeah, thank you. Affirmation talk. And I think I was talking with Keith. Where's Keith at? Okay, oh, right. I was talking to Keith in the bathroom. I was like, man, you're doing Seven Sons of Sceva. Sorry, guys, it's going to be kind of boring this week compared to next week with Seven Sons. So it's going to be good. So if it's really boring this week, come back next week because it'll be really good. Yeah, I had a great time with the guys. And then what was cool is I loved getting to get a taste of Tonkawa. I went with Max and we went to the wrestling matches. Go Tonkawa, man. We didn't see one match where they lost. So that was amazing. So I just wanted to say I love coming here. It's kind of like family. You guys feel like family. My family. So do we have the picture of my family? Let's toss it up. So here's my family. Except there's one person in the middle that's my oldest son's friend that was there with us at this fall festival thing. But that's my family, and they wish they could be here. They came with me last time 2 years ago, and absolutely love you guys. Grace, my wife, was like, oh, I want to go hang with the ladies. You know, she wanted to get here but couldn't. So anyway, so I just wanted to show you my family and just tell you that they love you guys as a congregation and wish they could be here. All right. Well, let's dive in. I called this teaching the pace of remembering, slowing down in a fast-paced world to finish strong. And we were just in Sunday school class talking about the Holy Spirit, and I was like, yes, like this is what we need. We need to walk in the Spirit. And that's really what this kind of alludes to even. I mean, everything we're hoping to walk in the Spirit, let everything that flows out of us come from the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. But sometimes we can grieve the Holy Spirit. It talks about that in the scriptures. And so the hope of this time today is just to quickly hit on something that's been really massive for me in my own walk and my own journey with the Lord. And just keep us faithful and focused with the Spirit, walking with the Spirit. Because we live in a fast-paced world. There's lots coming at us, and it's slapping us around. And I talked to the guys yesterday. That was kind of the second part of what we talked about, was slowing down and sneaking away. So wives, if your husbands are like, hey, can I sneak away? Say yes, because their desire is to sneak away and be with the Lord, to go for maybe a hike, maybe go on a little retreat and lay out some things. But I just really, this subject is dear to my heart, remembrance. I think last time I was here, I talked about Thanksgiving. And really, remembrance is similar part of the coin, you know, but it's similar, but it is different. I wanted to make sure I hit on it. I was going to speak on something totally different this week. I was prepping and I was in my cold plunge. I was down in my cold plunge, freezing and shivering a little bit, and really got hit by something. And I was like, I need to change it up. And so I shifted kind of my plans. If you hate me because I do cold plunging, it's okay. If you want any information, no, I'm just kidding. I know everybody's scared of it. I was and am too, still to this day. All right. So I want to talk about this guy. His name is Cliff Young. He's a 61-year-old. He was a 61-year-old in 1983. And they had this Australian ultra marathon, 544 miles from Sydney to Melbourne. And so Cliff is a potato farmer. This is Cliff, the potato farmer right here. And I love this story because this is kind of, this story came to my mind. I heard it a long time ago and I was like, this is exactly what I want to talk about this week. And I kind of prepped most of my notes and then Cliff came to mind. So I'm going to start with Cliff. He decided to go on this ultra marathon run. He showed up in work boots and galoshes. They actually have pictures kind of him showing up. And he's just this guy, and they had these really well-fit, you know, ultra-marathon runners. They had all the gear and the stuff. They were suited up. And you could tell they just didn't take him seriously. World-class runners versus Cliff, you know. And they just assumed he didn't have a chance. So most of the runners ran. They would run 18 hours and then sleep. And then they'd wake up, you know, keep running. And so Cliff, everybody took off, and, you know, Cliff was the back of the pack. And does anyone know this story about Cliff? This is an amazing story. And he's just shuffling along. He's kind of, like, if you watch it, he's just kind of, like, he's shuffling. And he's running, and, you know, everybody goes to sleep. And Cliff just shuffles right by him, and he just keeps on trucking. And so Cliff, he did stop a few times for short amounts of time, but for the most part, Cliff never stops. He never stops. He never really sleeps. And he finishes the race, like, I think he broke the record by 2 days. And everybody else, like, pale in comparison. He beat everybody. He won $10,000, which I think in today's money is like $30,000. And what I love is that he didn't even keep the money. He didn't keep it for himself. He gave all the money to the other runners. He split it amongst all the other runners. And I was like, man, this is exactly how I want to live my life. Where I'm just going to the Cliff shuffle. I want us to do the remembrance shuffle. Where we're just shuffling along down and we have our pace. We're not trying to sprint and impress anybody. We're not trying to get all fancy. We just are shuffling down the road. And that whatever we receive in our remembrance, and as we shuffle down the road with the Lord, we're thinking on Him, we're setting our eyes on Him. We're going to talk more about remembrance as we go, but I hope that we give it away. So like when Josh is like, Rich is the second happiest person I know. My hope is, and my desire is not to be like known as the happy guy. That's not what I'm pursuing, just so you know. But my pursuit is that whenever I walk into a place or wherever I go or in the little moments, whenever I don't even know people are looking, that I'm not like trying to impress. I'm just living. I'm trying to live like Jesus. I'm trying to shuffle my way through. And that in that, that's a witness. And what happens and what I found is whenever you shuffle along in that way, people's ears open. And so when you speak, they listen. Or when you speak, it's the Holy Spirit hits them, right? We even in Sunday school this morning, what was the term where it struck them to the heart, like the Holy Spirit can strike people to the heart, and that as we're shuffling down the road, that our witness and our life actually reverberates and hits people in the chest, and that they receive Jesus because of it. So that's the goal. That's the goal. The Cliff Young Shuffle. We want to walk out the Cliff Young Shuffle. All right. So pacing ourselves, doing the ugly shuffle of remembering, I'm going to just define pace. Pace means walking at a steady and consistent speed. So we're walking at a steady and consistent speed. How many of you guys feel like life is a roller coaster? Does anybody feel, okay, I'm honest too, I'm raising my hand as well, it's a roller coaster. I think last time I was here, we had just moved to Kansas City from Minnesota. Things were a bit hairy for us. I'll be honest. Like, I think I told the guys at that time, and I even shared it yesterday again. Like, guys, we were in a tough place as a family, me personally. And I even told the guys this weekend, I was like, man, I miss my family. So family, they're probably watching. I love you guys. I miss you. But this was a retreat for me. I told the guys yesterday, I was like, guys, this is a gift to me. To be here, to be up here with you all, or just to be here in the service. And so we want to just run consistent and steady. In all my years, I would say that remembering God's goodness has been seen as the ugly shuffle. Like, people even get irritated. Even sometimes people I work with at work, you know, they're like, Rich, you look a little goofy. You know, that's kind of what they're trying to say. You know, just because you're too joyful. You know, sometimes my bosses say that. You're a little too happy, you know. And we look a little unprofessional in a world of complainers. Yeah, let's be set apart. Let's look unprofessional in a world of complainers. There's a ton of complainers out there. It might look fake to many. There's been people in my life over many years that have been like, "Rich, when I met you, and I thought you were totally fake." And they'll tell me that. I'll be like, "That's great." But then they'll say, "But the consistency, the shuffle, right? It's for real." And so that's how we want to walk in that way. I don't care if it looks goofy. I don't care if it looks unprofessional. I am who I am. I'm going to give you Jesus. And I'm going to outlast you, you know, in the sense of I'm going to shuffle down the road. I'm going to win the race. Come with me. Let's shuffle together. Psalm 77, 11 through 14. I will remember the works of the Lord. Yes. I love that. Yes, I will remember the amazing things you did long ago. I will think about all you have done. I will reflect upon your deeds. Oh God, your deeds are extraordinary. What God can compare to our great God? Ah, yes. You are the God who does amazing things. You have revealed your strength among the nations. So God continually tries pointing our eyes, the eyes of his people, toward him and towards his word. And I would say this, he made us to look on his greatness. He made us to look on his goodness. Like, we're made to do that. And the world's constantly trying to not let us do that. Here's the hard part about living in America. In America, we are spoiled. We have much. Right? And even like when I was here last, we were like struggling financially significantly. But even in that, I was still rich compared to most in the world. And when we get a lot, sometimes we can start to complain. We can start to think. I always think of the story. It's in the Kings, King Asa. And King Asa was an amazing king on the front end. He, you know, broke down all the idols, you know, that people had up. And he did all these amazing things. And God placed favor on the nation at that time. And then King Asa started getting plenty. Got it a lot. And then over time, he's like, "Yeah, I did that." That's what started happening in King Asa's heart. And I love this story because the Lord did this. He's like, well, yeah, I mean, he called King Asa to repentance. He didn't repent. He sent a prophet and all this stuff. King Asa would not relent. And then the Lord eventually gave him diseased feet. I thought, oh, that's just a really cool example. You know, we're running the race to win the prize. And if we start to think we're the one doing it, then we might get diseased feet and get out of the race. And so we want to make sure we stay steady, that we hold tight. We walk it out. So it's his goodness. It's his greatness. We need to stay focused on him. Make sure we know that it's him. Some examples of this are Joshua 24, Nehemiah 9, 10. After taking the time to remember the Lord moving in their midst over time, they repented and then committed their ways back to him. So Joshua 24. Now therefore, so just so you know, this is verse 14, but 2 through 13, God's reminding them of all that he's done for them. So he's just like hammering them with all these things he's reminding them about. And then he says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. So they turned. They repented. And I would strongly say they did that because they were reminded of what God did. So when we choose to remind you, and I spoke it to the guys yesterday, like I was like, you guys know I'm a champion for you. I'm like, guys, get together. Remind each other of the gospel. Remind each other of God's goodness. Pray for one another when you have struggles. But remind each other of the goodness of God. And you'll turn from wicked ways or things that are trying to tempt you. You'll shift because of it. Nehemiah 9, 38. Because of all this, okay, just like the now therefore in Joshua, Nehemiah says, because of all this. So he just shared from 33 through 37 all that God had done for them. Because of all this, we make a firm covenant in writing. On the sealed document are the names of our princes, our Levites, and our priests. So they made a covenant, like I'm locking in because of what you've done for us. All right. So we're made to gaze on God's goodness. God's creation was always meant to be gripped by the goodness of God. I would testify to that. We were made to do that, to remember who he is. When we remember his goodness, then our lives are stripped of complaints and self-seeking. And we die in order for his agenda to live through us. We desire to serve his purposes above our own. So lots of verses come to mind. You know, Philippians 2:3, you know. I'm going to go ahead and be selfless. I'm going to say no. I'm going to live for you. All those things. So Titus 2:11-13. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, that's a great passage right there. Exodus 13:3. Moses said to the people, remember this day on which you came out from Egypt. Here's the ironic part, is they don't remember. They forget. We know that. From the place where you were enslaved, for the Lord brought you out of there with a mighty hand. And no bread made the yeast, made with yeast may be eaten. Exodus 20:2. This one, I remember reading it. Who knows about the Ten Commandments? Everybody here probably, right? Everybody knows about the Ten Commandments? This is verse 2, and after verse 2 follows the Ten Commandments. I, the Lord, am your God who brought you from the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery. So a lot of people look at the Ten Commandments and they're like, oh, there's these laws, these rules, and people want to kick against the other, you know, they want to press back. We have, you know, if you have teenagers, which I have some teenagers, I love you guys. You know, sometimes they want to kick against the rules or the things. But I love that before the law was laid down, which was for their good, the nation's good, he says, I, the Lord, am your God who brought you out of the land. I'm just reminding you that I did good for you. I love you. I deeply love you. So here you go. And he gives them the Ten Commandments. Numbers 15. The Lord spoke to Moses. Speak to the Israelites and tell them to make tassels for themselves on the corners of their garments throughout their generations and put a blue thread on the tassel of the corners. You must have this tassel so that you may look at it. Remember all the commandments of the Lord and obey them so that you do not follow after your own heart and your own eyes that lead you to unfaithfulness. Thus, you will remember and obey all my commandments and be holy to your God. So you have a Jewish culture where there's all these things reminding them, still even to this day. And so I remember for me, it was before I was married. I lived in this little shack in the middle of Three Rivers, Michigan. I felt like I was supposed to go to this city. And I would stick, like, my mirror in my bathroom. I almost couldn't see myself. I had, like, this little area where I could see my face if I needed to. But I had all these Post-it notes. And I would read them when I was, like, brushing my teeth, you know. And before I went out the door and flipped the light, I had to read the scripture by the light switch. You know, like, I had these standards to remind me about, like, what was important, how I needed to live. Deuteronomy 5:15. Recall that you were slaves in the land of Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there by strength and power. Okay, so I could keep going all day about these scriptures. The Lord's saying, remember. Deuteronomy 15:15. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt and the Lord your God redeemed you therefore. I'm commanding you to do this thing today. So I'm just laying that foundation because here in a minute I'm going to hit on how they didn't remember. You know, they chose to forget. Ah! Like if you have kids, you're like, yeah, you know. This happens sometimes. Singing his goodness. So I always, I've taught junior youth and I have kids. So I always talk about songs have a sticky factor. And I always do this thing where it's like, that's what I do with the kids. You know, kind of make that little sound there so that maybe sticks to them. But songs stick things to our hearts. God knew this and embedded them in Jewish culture early on. You got all the Davidic Psalms. You know, the Psalms are really just songs. So I'm just going to read one. There's many. Psalm 31:9. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief. My soul and my body also. So I love this because it's okay to be like, man, things are kind of crappy right now. You know, like stuff's going on. You don't deny what's happening. Stuff's happening. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Like, if you know the context of some of these scriptures around David and his songs, you're like, gosh, I'd be really struggling. And he was struggling. But then he says in verse 19, oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and work for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. Yes, like, let this be us. I don't know where each of you are at in your lives, but it's okay. Man, this is what's going on. But blessed be the Lord who's done this and this and this. I talked to the guys yesterday about, we drew out a line, and it's like pain, joy, and then pain on both sides of that line. And kind of marking moments in life and grabbing the life lessons out of there and taking the time to really internalize and have that ready in the palm of our hand at any given moment. Remembrance is the road by which Thanksgiving travels. So I always have to get to Thanksgiving because remembrance is a huge part of that. A person's prayer life can be made known by the fruit, really, but could be made known through the level of thanks that exudes from their life. I grew up in a household with a lot of complaints. Now, I love my parents. My parents are amazing. But I did grow up in a household with a lot of complaint. And when I left my house, I had a lot of complaints. Felt like it was my right and my duty to complain about anything and everything. Who can relate to this? Okay, probably. Don't raise your hand. It's okay. It's like, it was massive. The Lord, I remember I was in a prayer time, and the Lord just rebuked me. And so I made it my mission. It was a constant sign up, but I made it my mission to be like, I want to be somebody who is known for giving thanks. Somebody who's known for remembering the goodness of God. As we behold him and his goodness, so we remember. Thanksgiving becomes a common declaration from our lips. And I struggle. I struggle in this. I struggled this last week with my family. I came home and the dishes were piled high. And I was getting all frustrated. I'm saying, like, I can't even like get my hand in the sink. And then I just had to say sorry. You know, I was like, oh, sorry, guys. Because I struggle too, and we have to be reminded. And that's why we have each other too, to remind each other. Psalms 107, verse 21 and 22. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loyal love and for the amazing things he has done for people. Let them present thank offerings and loudly proclaim what he has done. So there's so many verses. Like, if you do a study on this, it's like mind-blowing. You could be doing it forever. And there was that season where I was getting really tore, you know, like the Lord was like hammering me and tweaking me really hard on this subject. And so I declared, like, I'm going to spend many minutes of my day in giving thanks. So much so, like where I have dedicated time, set aside time. But the goal for me, because it wasn't normal to me, the goal for me was to do that so that when I was in everyday life with everyday people, that was the norm. Yeah. That would just come out of me. So it's just like anything, you got to practice it. Yeah. Remembrance clears the fog that life can bring. It lifts anxiety of current turmoil by seeing the bigger picture. And ultimately leads to genuine thanksgiving. Before we can declare his goodness, we must first remember it. So you've got to remember it first. You've got to take the time. Like I encouraged the guys yesterday, step away from the noise. Leave your phone where you need to leave it. And take time to remember. I remember when I started this, just to give a little testimony. I was in prayer and I made this commitment to God. And I read some scriptures and then I sat there. And because I was such a complainer. And I was like, all right, Lord, what should I be thankful for? And I was just like, I could not think of one thing. It's like, the sky's blue. Thank you, Lord, the sky's blue. I remember I was like grabbing some superficial stuff out of the air. I was trying really hard. And so I just am saying that to you to encourage you that I just sat there and I was awkwardly patient. And then stuff started to hit me. And after weeks, I would walk out of my times just weeping all the time. I remember specifically I had a whole season where I would get to my mom. I would be giving thanks about my mom in specific ways. And I would just lose it. And I was just so incredibly grateful. Like, no, it was like a shield. It was like armor. No complaints could get to me because I was so thankful for my mom and what the Lord had given me in her. It's powerful. All right, let's shift gears and we'll run through this pretty fast. I don't even know what my time, what's my timetable here?
When they start to leave.
Okay, okay. I'll be watching. The next thing, so I'm going to shift gears to you have remembering and then you have forgetting. And I just put no pace, no grace. The cost of forgetting. So if you don't have the shuffle, you're not, you know, you might not make it to the end or you're definitely not going to win, you know. So when we forget, and I was thinking about forgetfulness and I was thinking about my backyard. What's crazy is you guys have them all over here. I see them. These mole holes. I see these mole holes everywhere. I was even at the college yesterday, and those mole holes. I don't know if you felt them, Max. As we were walking on the grass, they're down there. And I can feel that softness. And I feel like forgetfulness is those mole holes, man. They start small. You see those little piles of dirt come up. But like we were playing soccer this last week on the field in my backyard. I have this like government land and you can use it. We were playing soccer with different people. If you step wrong, man, you might that's a little soft ground there. It can be really destructive. If you let those moles just sit there, then the ground just kind of sinks. And so I feel like forgetfulness is like that. It's like moles digging in and like burrowing into your life. And slowly you're like, whoa, and you fall down a hole. Psalm 78. 4 through 8 and verse 11. We will not hide from, not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Those that forget, that's what they become. A generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. Deuteronomy 4, I'm just going to bust through a bunch of scriptures here. Verse 9, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children, to your children's children. Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. And so I just say, like, this is Israel is talking, but this is us too. God's made, there's a promise of a blessed hope in his covenant. Like, do not forget what he's going to do, what he's coming to do, what he has done in your life that testifies to what he will do. Deuteronomy 6, 10 through 15. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you with great and good cities that you did not build. I love that little nudge. That you did not build. And houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. Oh, he's a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. We're about to talk about one of those scriptures. Psalms 9, verse 17. The wicked are turned back and sent to Sheol. This is the destiny of all the nations that ignore. In the ESV it says, forgot God. So all those nations that forget God, they're destined for a lake of fire. Psalm 78, 10 through 12. They did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to his law. They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. In the sight of their fathers, he performed wonders in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. Isaiah 17, for you have forgotten the God of your salvation, have not remembered the rock of your refuge. Therefore, if you're that guy, you're like, therefore what? You know, Though you plant pleasant plants and sow the vine branch of a stranger, though you make them grow on the day that you plant them and make them blossom in the morning that you sow, yet the harvest will flee away in a day of grief and incurable pain. So here's the deal. Is we want God to be just blessing us and us not having to do anything. We live in a generation of devices. We get the dopamine hit for just scrolling. We don't got to do nothing. God, in the beginning, man fell. He said, I'm going to put these things in the ground that are going to make it hard for you. You're going to have to work really hard to get that dopamine hit. Well, we bypassed that. We went around it. But I'm telling you, he's going to do it. This is why I'm doing the cold plunge. People think I'm crazy, but like, there's great reward, but it's a painful process. You have to mentally overcome. And I think that for us, we don't want God to flee away the harvest. You know, we don't want the harvest to leave. We don't want to miss the day when he shows up to resurrect the righteous and the wicked. We want to be resurrected unto life. Romans 1, 19 through 23. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. They forgot. Their minds became darkened. Gosh, I know a lot of people right now, even as I'm talking. Yeah, I need to pray for some people. I'm thinking people that have forgot and are lost and they once knew. Grieves my heart. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature. They were humanistic in their nature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. So complaint is the declaration of forgetfulness or forgetting. Complaint almost always leads to some type of finger pointing and the blame game. If I had my soccer team in here, I just coached the soccer team. If I was in here, we had one word, it was urgency. And then we had one phrase, and we said it all the time. I made them say it all the time. It was like, those who complain, and then they would say back, blame and are lame. They knew that because I didn't want them on the sideline complaining about the refs. It's like, no, we don't do that here. And so we don't want to be those who complain and blame, because that's what it does. Complaint versus blame. Exodus 16, that's another one about the manna. I'm not going to dive into that, but God providing, and then they're whining about it, and water, and they're whining, and they're just never content. Lord, help us to be content. We have so much. Complaint is also the instigator of gossip and even suicidal thoughts. Because of discouragement or unmet expectations, people are prone to gossip, complain, and ultimately want to give up through suicide or going back to the bondage they once were in, right? Israel going back to wanting to go back to Egypt. I've seen this a lot. I'm going to dive into Numbers 14. There's actually Numbers 14 through 16 is brutal. But Numbers 14, 1 through 3. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. What it's trying to say is they gossiped against Moses. I just want to say it. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would that we had died in this wilderness. Suicidal thoughts. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives, our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? But this is what we do. We forget. Our family has transitioned a ton. We traveled RV for two full seasons on the road. My three oldest kids have been to 47 of the 50 states. My youngest has been like 42. Got four kiddos. I've been to all 50 states. We transitioned a ton. And we just transitioned when we transitioned to Kansas City, right? You guys saw us right after we transitioned. I was fighting so hard for us to remember what was going on there. Let's look forward what God has. Remember what he promised us, what he desires for us. And now we're in a good place. Right, family? My family? We're in a good place. I want to remind us, my family, that we're in a good place. We're doing good things. The Lord has brought us somewhere, but it took time. So complaint is not yet dead to self, but alive to individual corporate rights. I have my rights. So be careful there. Number 16, again, I'm just going to sweep through this. The tribe of Korah, they're complaining against Moses and Aaron. They spread this dissension. They bring a whole crew with them. And Moses is like, no, guys, no. You know, he's trying to help them. Like, and finally, Moses does get angry. You know, he finally does get a little upset. And he opens up the earth. And, like, this story is a crazy story. But Moses is like, God's going to show you, you know, what's going on here. And God opens the earth, sucks some of the tribe of Korah into Sheol, it says. It's like, I mean, we can break that down. That's a theological discussion. But, like, they are gone. They're sucked in. And then some of the people are running off, right? And things move on. And then verse 41, number 16:41, just a few verses later. But on the next day, the whole community of Israelites murmured against Moses and Aaron, saying, you have killed the Lord's people. Like, he just opened the earth and sucked people in. And they're like, you know, they're like complaining again. It's like, what in the world are they? But this is how rooted we get in complaints. Like, they're so rooted in their rights and their this and what we think is best. And they're not trusting. God put Moses and Aaron in leadership, and they weren't trusting Moses and Aaron. And then and God's like, hey, step away from them too. You know, he's telling Moses and Aaron, like, step back. About to do something, you know. And Moses and Aaron fall on their faces, and the plague starts to, like, take over, and they have to do certain things. They get in the way, and they stop the plague. God's, like, killing people. It's like 14,000 die, it says, in that moment. It's like, and then it says they didn't complain after that. But, I mean, we don't want to go through that, right? So I'm going to end with this. This is the last phrase I just really want to say is we want to live to shuffle, not shout. Live to shuffle, not shout. I have been used and abused in different circumstances and situations. But I'm not like, ooh, boo-hoo. Like, I'm like, yeah, let's go. You know, I'm like, I love pressing into that because that's where I learn the most, man. That's where God shows up, and I actually have the most joy. And that's when you read scriptures, it says to have joy in the midst of suffering. This is what it's talking like. You can truly have the vision and the gospel and the blessed hope and God's goodness in front of you in the midst of significant strife or trouble or difficulty and all that. There are things all around us reminding us about the goodness of God. So I would say just we need to open our eyes. And I'm going to pray this for us in a second. That we would have the eyes to see God at work all around us. For some of you, you might be feeling this. You're like, gosh, yeah, I've moved away from that. I don't see the goodness. I'm a pessimist at heart or whatever. I would encourage you, if you've defined yourself a certain way, redefine it. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm just a pessimist. That's what you say. No. No, you're not. If you're a witness for God. You know, like, we need to redefine some of these things that we've spoken and locked ourselves. We've planted this little label on our forehead. This is who I am. Stop it. We need to not do that. So I'm going to pray. Let's just pray. But we just thank you so much for all that we have, for the goodness that we have. And Lord, if you took it all from us, we still have the goodness of you. You still are going to, like, it is for sure that you are coming back. It is for sure that you're going to redeem all things. It is for sure that you're going to move and work in the earth to make your creation redeemed and restored. There will be no more death. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more anger and rage. Lord, you're going to come and do that. So, Lord, if we lose all, we still have something to be thankful for. That we should never not have something to cling our hands onto, that we're climbing up this rigid rock of this age, and it seems treacherous at times, but Lord, you give us the handholds to put our hands on and to lift ourselves up so that we can enter into your glory on that day, so we can be resurrected unto life at the day of the Lord. Lord, I pray for those who right now are in the midst of struggles. They're in the midst of trials. They're significant pain. Lord, you love them. Lord, you feel their grief. You feel their pain. Lord, you're not saying to ignore it, that it's really there. But Lord, I pray that you would lift them up, Lord, that you would lift the anxiety. You would lift the burdens. You're the burden bearer. We cast our cares on you, for you care for us. We present our worries before you with thanksgiving, the scriptures say, so that you can do your work in our hearts and our lives, Lord. So I pray that you would provide what's needed for everybody, but provide more than anything else, a happy heart focused on you. Can it find joy in the midst of even suffering? We ask for that. Lord, I pray for your truth just to sink deep. The seeds would go deep, Lord, and much fruit would come from it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We invite the elders up front. You can stay up here, too. And we're just going to pray for people.
Okay. So, sweet. I love that.
Yeah, our elders will be up here. I encourage you to come.